having their lives changed, transformed by the word of God. And Father, I thank you for your anointing, your call upon me to minister your word. And I give you the glory and honor and the praise for it all. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said,
amen,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, on last Sunday, I began ministering to you concerning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, concerning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let me go ahead and read to you. And by the way, that's my subject, if you need one, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But turn again to the book of Ephesians, the very first chapter, Ephesians, the very first chapter. And I will begin reading at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I could stop right there and preach a while, but I won't. I'll keep moving. Praise God. But I will say this much. Paul said he was an apostle by the will of God. Amen. Not his own will. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You ready for this? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And now the part of these verses I want you to focus on primarily right now, it begins at verse 3, where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. The Word of God here is telling us that God the Father is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we refer to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you need to understand it this way. There is God the Father. There is God the Son. There is God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And according to the scriptures, these three are equal. They work together. They are in perfect unity. They are one. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, Jesus told some folks one day, say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That didn't go over too well. But he told them, say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. And I told you last week, and I'm gonna try to breeze through this a little quicker. But I told you last week that God the Father is the originator. He is the originator. Jesus himself acknowledged God as his Father. He would say things like, I must be about my Father's business. We talked about that last week. We won't go into it this week. But remember, at the age of 12, he stayed back while the family was gone, and he was missing, and they didn't know where he was. But they found him, and one of the things Jesus told him, he says, I must be about my Father's business. He didn't say anything about his business. He said, my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. And another, and this is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Another thing he said, and we covered all this, I'm just reviewing real quickly. All things are delivered to me by my Father. This is Luke 10, 22. He said, I have come in my Father's name. John 5, 43. Jesus says it was his Father that taught him. John 8, 28. Now, let me say this, and I said this to you last week. John 3, 16 is one of the verses that most people, most Christians know. That's usually one that we learn early in our Christian walk. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God the Father gave his Son, that's so that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but would have what? Everlasting life. Come on, say that again. Everlasting life. Everlasting means never ending. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now we've taken a look, a brief look at the Father as the originator. Now let's look at the Son, Jesus Christ. He was the one that was sent to carry out the will of his Father, to fulfill the will of his Father. Amen. Now we went here last week. I want to go back to the book of Hebrews again, so turn there, Hebrews. We're talking about Jesus, amen? I read this to you last week, at least I think I did, but in Hebrews, the very first chapter, in the very first verse, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And listen to me, don't you ever forget this. As a child of God, as a Christian, as a believer, everything goes through the Son. Everything flows through the Son. Hallelujah. I'm born again today because of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. My blessings come through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So it says, in these last, this verse 2, in these last days, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Somebody say amen. All right, now what I want you to do is turn back to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. Glory to God. Chapter 1. Colossians. First chapter. Now, I want to begin reading to you from the 12th verse. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Glory to God. I'm qualified. How about you? Glory to God. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, don't you ever forget that. You hear me? Don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us, not going to, he already has. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us where? Oh, glory to God. And conveyed us, he delivered us from the power of darkness. The power that the devil used to have on me, he don't have it anymore. I hope you can say the same thing. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, let me stop right there just a moment. Anybody that's been with me any length of time, you know that I don't have to finish a message and one time. You know, we can always come back. Amen. But I want to stop here at verse 14 before we move on, because there's something I want to say to you, and then we're going to move on. Let me read verse 14 again. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Say his blood. The forgiveness of sins. Too many of us, and I have been guilty of that, not anymore, but we have fallen for the lies of the devil. Well, what do you mean? Well, we see here in verse 14, number one, we have been redeemed through his blood, and our sins have been forgiven. If you have gone to God and confessed your sins, like it says in 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you've been washed in the blood, if your sins have been forgiven, why are you still thinking about your old life? Why are you still feeling guilty? Why are you still feeling condemned? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus knew we was messed up when he came here. That's the reason he came here. He came for a messed up people. He came for a bunch of losers. That's what we all were. We were just a bunch of losers. He shedded his blood for us, washed us clean, and forgave us. So those voices you've been hearing, by the way, you need to rebuke those things, what you need to do, reminding you of how you used to be constantly, constantly nagging you, this is the way you used to be. You know how you used to be. Remember what you did. Remember this, remember that, blah, 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 blah. You need to say, shut up, devil. I've been washed in the blood. My sins has been forgiven. I used to belong to you, but not anymore. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. The devil will use your past against you if you will let him. Do I have any listeners here today? I want to say that again. The devil will use your past against you if you will let it. But I want to read verse 14. We'll move on. I'm going to read it again. In whom? If you born again in here, I do this quite often. If you born again in here, raise your hand. Raise your hand. You saved. Hallelujah. Now, you've asked God to forgive you. Even if you've sinned since you've been saved, you've asked God to forgive you, right? I'm just saying, you know, if you have. Why, now put verse 14 on the screen for me, please. Glory be to God. Say this after me. Say, I have redemption through his blood.
I have redemption through his blood.
Say it again. I have redemption through his blood.
I have redemption through his blood.
Say it again. I have redemption through his blood.
I have redemption through his blood.
The forgiveness of sins.
The forgiveness of sins.
Now, if you've been redeemed and you've been forgiven, guess what, folks? You're free. What did Jesus say? He forgave them their sins and he said, go sin no more. He didn't say, I'll be back tomorrow to remind you how you used to be. You remember the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery? She was caught in the very act of adultery. They drug her before Jesus and they was thinking Jesus was going to condemn her and kick her around or whatever. But you know what? The woman was sorry for her sins. You know, and so what did Jesus do? He forgave her of her sins, right? He forgave her of her sins. Yes, she was an adulteress at one time. But when Jesus forgave her for her sin, she came to Jesus as an adulteress. She left Jesus as a free woman. You hear me? I mean, we come to Jesus in terrible conditions, in terrible shape. But let me tell you something. When we are washed in the blood, we leave free. We leave clean. Hallelujah. So don't let the devil condemn you. I don't know why I paused here this way. Somebody needed it. I know that. Somebody needed it. Glory to God. I'm this type of preacher, you know, and I realize I don't minister minister exactly alike, but I have my notes. I study. I spend time with the Lord. But I find in my ministry, and I'm talking about me, in my ministry, a lot of times. The Spirit of God will, I use the word arrest. He will arrest me and stop me and say, this is what I need you to say because somebody needs this. Amen. And that's my, listen to me, folks, and then we're going to move on. That's my goal as a preacher. My goal is not to impress you. My goal is to minister to you. My goal is to yield to the Holy Spirit that he might minister to you. Are you still here? I say, are you still here? C- Glory be to God. All right, all right. I said we're going to move on. So it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, let's go on to verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. Let's talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Hallelujah. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Hallelujah. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. Y'all need to shout about that one. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For verse 19. I love this. We're talking about Jesus now. For it pleased the Father that in him, who is him? Jesus. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Glory to God. I could read on, but I'll probably stop right there. Oh, isn't this good? Through Jesus Christ. He's on my side, man. He's on my side. He's on your side. The creator of all the earth, everything that is on my side. It's a song we sing. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who know the rest of it? We've sang it before. I always start these things. These folk can't finish them for me. I got to pray for them. I look over in this section. I'm expecting them to finish it. They look at me like. But anyway, the late Morris Chapman sang that song. What a great minister and singer he was. Praise God. Praise God. All right, let us move on. Now, so number one, the Son made, the Father gave the Son the responsibility of creating the worlds and everything that is. And of course, you know the story, and we'll get that to that a little later on. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but let me say this. He was sent back to earth by the Father to destroy the works of the devil. He came to set us free, but he also came to destroy the works of the devil. I want you to go to 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John, the third chapter. I want you to see it for yourself. I'll just begin reading it, verse 7 of the third chapter of 1 John. It says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. You see that? For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Look at the rest of this verse. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. You have to understand something. Yes, God loved this world and he sent his only begotten Son so that any of us who would believe on him would have everlasting life. But Jesus didn't come just to deliver us. Yes, he did come to deliver us. But he also came to utterly destroy the works of the devil. Now you may be thinking, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean, the devil's busy every day. He's busy, yeah, he is. But it's only for a season. It's only for a season. So you have to understand something. How many of you have ever leased an apartment or a house? Raise your hand. You leased it. All right, now you leased it and you're living in it, but it's not your house, is it? You don't have the deed for it. You've leased it for a while. And then when your lease is up, you got two options. The owner may decide, if you prefer, the owner may decide to renew your lease, or he may say that's it. You know, you got to move on. And so if the owner says you got to move on, guess what you got to do? You got to move on. The reason that the devil is still here right now, and Jesus is thoroughly defeated, and we'll see that, but I want you to understand something. The reason that the devil is still here right now, causing problems, deceiving people, is because he has a lease. Well, what do you mean he has a lease? I mean he has a lease. Well, when did God give him a lease? God didn't give him a lease. Well, how did he get it? Adam gave it to him. You have to remember, God placed Adam in charge, not the devil. You still here? God placed Adam in charge. But when Adam disobeyed God and obeyed the devil, he handed the lordship over to the devil. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul refers to the devil as the God of this world. Not our God. Now, Jesus told some fellows one time, you are of your father, the devil, because they refused to believe in him. They didn't want to follow him. The devil used to be my daddy, my father, but I found Jesus Christ, and I changed daddies. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And that's the reason I tell people as a minister, and the Bible tells us, you know, not to be unequally yoked together. You know, if you're a believer, you know, you need to date another believer in Christ Jesus. If you're going to get married, you need to marry another believer. Amen. In other words, both of you need to be born again. Can I get amen on that? Yeah. Now, I heard a fella put it this way, and I thought he did a pretty good job at it. He was talking to some girls, young ladies, whatever, and he's warning them because they wanted to get married to this person that was not saved. He wasn't born again. He didn't live for Jesus. But they were in love and they wanted to get married. And he told him, he said, listen, you know, if you marry this man, I promise you, you're going to have some problems out of your dad-in-law. He said, you're going to have some problems out of your dad-in-law. And so, young lady was thinking, well, my dad-in-law's a pretty decent fella. I don't think he'd give me. He said, no, that's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about your dad-in-law, the devil. God is your father and the devil is his. And there are a lot of folks, males and females, today that are having problems with their dad-in-law. Because the dad-in-law keep influencing their spouse, their husband, or their wives. And then there's turmoil in the marriage. And many times, they separate and sometimes divorce. I'm so glad that I was able to say when Mama Kathy and I got married, she wasn't Mama Kathy when we got married, by the way. That came along later. But when we got married, we went into our little trailer, mobile home. I call it trailer, little mobile home. That thing was close to being a shack, wasn't it? But it was ours. And, we had to be careful how we walk in certain rooms because you could wind up under the trailer. And we didn't want that to happen because the floor, it was soft. But anyway, I remember talking to the Lord on that first day. I said, Lord, we're going into our first home. Jesus, you're the head of this house because you are my Lord and you are her Lord. You're the head of this house. Yes, I am the husband, but you're the head of this house. And we made a decision that we're going to honor you. Honor you. Hallelujah. And that's what we have done. Have you had any trying times? Of course we have. Amen. Human beings get frustrated at each other sometimes. With each other, especially in early years, at least it was with ours. With us, I don't know about you folks, hope not, but with us, Saturday was our arguing day. Why Saturday, Pastor? Well, Monday through Friday, I was in the Air Force, so Monday through Friday, I was at work. I was out on the flight line, came home, ate supper, went to bed pretty much. Sundays, we went to church. Saturday is the only free day we had to argue. And so we got to thinking one day, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why are we arguing every Saturday? Over nothing. Just sitting. But you have to understand, we were both immature. You know, we were still maturing. We were young adults. We were still maturing. We had a lot of growing to do. But we figured it out. This ain't working. We are ruining our weekend because we're always fussing and arguing on Saturday. So we made a decision, didn't we? We're not arguing on Saturday. We're going to enjoy Saturdays. We didn't have any money to go shopping, but we enjoyed it. We didn't have any money to go out to eat, but we enjoyed it. Praise the Lord. How'd I get off on that? Did that help anybody? I hope so. Glory to God. Glory to God. All righty. Now turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians chapter 2. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And by the way, if you argue on Saturdays or any other day of the week, now you know you can make a decision, hey, we're cutting this out. Amen. If we can't agree on it, we go into the Lord, and God's got the last say-so on it. Amen. Praise God. But since this is not a marriage seminar, we'll move on. You have Colossians chapter 2. Glory to God. All right. Now, I want to begin reading at verse 11. We're talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for us in carrying out the will of his Father. Verse 11, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, let me back up and read that. And you being dead in your trespass, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having what? Forgiven you all trespasses. And having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is where we're going with this. Look at verse 15. Having destroyed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Amen. Jesus actually went and humiliated the devil publicly for you and me. Are you still here? Glory to God. He didn't do it in secret. He went into the very hell itself, won the victory, and rose from the dead, never to die again. And guess what? He let Satan know you only have to Adam's lease runs out. Then you're done. You're done, buddy. One day an angel going to take him, lock him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Yeah, for 1,000 years. And then the Bible tells us he will be released for a season. He will be released for a season. And then after that, the false prophet, Antichrist, and all others that chose to follow him will be thrown into the lake of fire, never to be heard of again, never to be heard from again. Glory be to God. Jesus was sent here to deliver us. Remember, he shed his blood to save us, didn't he? Amen. Now that he's done that, now he's got some more work that he's going to take care of. He's already defeated the devil. Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you, and you've heard me say it many, many times, I believe that the return of Jesus Christ for the church is so, so, so close. which will usher the world into the tribulation period, 7 years of tribulation. You don't want to be here. Look at somebody and say, you don't want to be here during the tribulation. See, that's the reason we got to preach the gospel. We got to preach the gospel. Let people know that Jesus is the answer. You don't want to be here during the tribulation. That's going to be almost like hell on earth, especially the last 3.5 years of it. Hallelujah. But he's coming back, and he's going to take care of business. I'm here to tell you right now, I don't care how close it may look, how bad it may look, Israel will never be destroyed again. They won't be dispersed again, because their Messiah is coming to rescue them. Glory be to God. Can I tell you this? Those of us, are you ready for this? You sure you can handle this? Those of us who will be caught away with him when Jesus comes, and not just those of us that will be caught away, but all those that will have died and gone to be with the Lord before he comes. Matter of fact, the Bible says when he comes back, he's going to bring them with him. And if we're still here in the earth, we're going to be caught up to be with him. Are you ready for this? We are going to be right behind Jesus while he's taking care of business. Zechariah prophesied about it. The Lord comes and his saints with him. Glory be to God. I'm excited about my future, folks. Folks are scratching and scraping, and don't get me wrong, we're supposed to live and make a living and you know, be responsible. We're supposed to do all of that. But that's just for why we're here. My hope is not here. I'll live in victory while I'm here, because he promised that to us. But my hope is with him. The Apostle John says, we don't know what we shall be, but this one thing we do know, that when we see him, we will be like him. Will be like him. And so we need to adjust our focus. As God has blessed you financially, you continue to earn money as much as God bless you with, you earn it. And the Bible never says it's a sin to be rich. No, it's not a sin to be rich. But what God does want the rich to do, and all of us, whether you're rich or not, he wants us to be willing to disperse and help those that are in need. You follow me? To be givers, to support the work of the gospel, to do all of those things. He's called us to do that. Matter of fact, he already promised that he's going to meet every need. Y'all still with me? Amen. So take him at his word. Jesus said to give, and it'd be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken, given, running over with men given to your bosom. Whatever measure you meet, it shall be meted back to you again. We know all that. Luke 6:38, I think it is. We know all that. But here's the thing. We must not lose focus. Because when Jesus comes, everything that I own will be left behind. You hear me? Everything that you own will be left behind. So we want to serve him while we are here. Serve him while we're here. Make sure we're focused properly while we're here. Because we're not going to be here forever. Glory be to God. Y'all follow me on that? You with me? Let's be about, as Jesus said, let's be about our Father's business. Oh, my goodness, where has the time gone? Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what, folks? I'm going to stop right here. I'm not finished, but we're going to pick this up again because I got some good stuff I want to share with you. Is that all right with you? I got some good stuff. Praise the name of the Lord. And it's going to take me, if I go into it, it's going to take me another 45 minutes, possibly an hour, and I'm not going to keep you here that long. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we're excited about your coming. Jesus, we're excited about your coming. Glory to God. We're excited about our future. But I'm so glad, Father, we're excited about our present because we're in you. May we walk with you, fellowship with you every day of our life.